Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.
It's Wednesday morning and it's time once again for Animal Central. I'm Sharon Dale, your host for the next hour. And boy, have we got some interesting guests in studio today. We're going to probably have a lot of laughs. In fact, one of my guests said I must make sure that she doesn't use any cuss words today. And I said, feel free. This is uncensored radio. But we're going to have a lot of fun. But I want to actually start off with a little bit of news. You know, I'm not a great follower of the British royal family, but sometimes you see something and you go, well, well done. And this is to Britain's Prince William, who actually recently made a direct appeal to the Chinese people to boycott ivory and other animal products that they use in medicine or even ornaments to help preserve the world's remaining elephants. He did this on Monday. And, you know, as we all know, China is a major consumer of ivory with a huge demand for the tusks. And this is what's threatening our already dwindling elephant population with total extinction. So he was speaking during a visit of the Chinese president, now I'll try and pronounce this, Xi Jinping, to Britain, and he recorded a message for the popular Chinese television show Let's Talk. This is what he said. He said, in the 33 years since I was born, we have lost around 70% of Africa's elephant population. Can you believe that? 70%. Of those that are left, 20,000 are being killed every single day. So that is 54 elephants killed every single day. I mean, that is just shocking. And if you see what a close-knit family these herds of elephants are, how they feel pain, how they mourn the death of each other, it's just really shocking. And he continued to say that at this rate, children born this year, like his daughter Charlotte, will see the last wild elephants and rhinos die before their 25th birthday. Now, that is quite sobering to think about that. And that doesn't only apply to elephants. It applies to our rhinos. It applies to our, you know, our leopards. There are so many endangered species. So, you know, something's got to be done. People have to wise up and stop hunting these precious, precious sentient beings. But moving on, this week, well, last week, saw the on sale date of the latest issue of Canine Zone. You got to get out there and pick up a copy because there's such amazing articles. We've got Mary Beth Williams, who has been a guest on the show, and she talks about how to help your dogs cope with grief. You know, when you've got your little pack at home and one of your dogs pass away, the other dogs absolutely do feel that. So she tells you about that. We look at parvovirus, and something that's very dear to my heart is how to teach your children to respect dogs. Very, very important, because how you raise your children guides them to be the adults, you know, that care about animals. If your child sees you tying your dog up outside on a rope or something, what does that child learn? You need to teach them to respect animals, how to treat animals, how to care for animals. And this article talks about that. And then, you know, a lot is always said about obese dogs and how to help your dogs lose a little bit of weight. But in this issue, we've actually got an article on how to make sure that your dog is not underweight. You know, a lot of them have a lot of fur and that sort of thing, so you don't always see when your dog is underweight, and that too is something that needs to be looked at. But moving on to today's show, now we, as I said, we've got some amazing guests in studio. We've got Tracy McQuarrie from Dogtown Barking Mad back again. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in. And then she's brought Amanda Dreyer from Yankee Candles. And then a little bit later, we're going to speak to the amazing Viv Elliott from Saints, who, I mean, she runs the Saints Animal Charity Shop, and I've seen over the years how much money this lady raises for shelters. It's just mind-blowing. And she's brought Dorette from Pawsome Wacky Whiskers into studio as well. We're going to talk about spaying, neutering, and what they do out in the community. But let's go back to you, Tracy. Thanks again for coming. I was at your new center, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Because you've, of course, opened a new Barking Mad Dog Town, and we went to the launch of the Octagon, sponsored by Montego.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, I was so impressed. What a stunning, stunning place that this is going to be in nature. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
So I mean, when did this open? Are you open already?
We've started moving the dogs across. We obviously have to do it in sections as we raise funds to build each Octagon. Mm. We move the dogs across, but in this room, we have two people that have raised pretty much enough money for two of our octagons. Yankee Candle,
yes,
came on board to help us build our next one. And Saints have did a special fundraiser for us to help us raise money to build an octagon as well. And with the Saints shop as well,
wow.
We get money every month to help build. So at the moment, everything to do with the octagons and to get the whole center in the one location is basically just funding. As we get the money, we build the next one. And we bring the next batch of dogs across. But it's a dream that's been 6 years long.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, it's starting to come to fruition, which is awesome. The dogs have the space
beautiful.
That they need.
Yes, because that's what I found interesting. I know we were there for the Montego opening of the One Octagon. So just explain a bit. The octagons, is they little sort of sections. Explain the whole octagon setup for me.
How it works is there's a central area inside where the caregivers' offices are and where they will one day, when we're rich and famous, we will have an internal building for each octagon. But at the moment, we just have a central area where our caregiver keeps all their stuff and works. And then from that central area, like little spokes on a bike, the gardens come out. So at no time do dogs have to walk along a line of fencing that sets each other off.
Yes.
They access to their garden to go in and out. They don't walk past any other dogs to do that. So it just makes our daily routine a lot more easier because the majority of our day is trying to help the dogs be calm, relaxed, well stimulated, mentally, physically, and emotionally. And this allows us to achieve that a lot more because space is one of the biggest issues all animal welfares struggle with. And we're a bit fortunate in this country that we do have space available and we can have an outdoor area for the dogs. It's just, you know, it takes a lot of money and a lot of effort to raise the kind of funds to be able to provide a facility like that.
Yes. And that's one of the things that impressed me is how much space each dog has. And I think you posted a little video on Facebook during the week of a couple of the dogs in their new enclosures. And they were having an absolute hoot. They were running around. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous place to be in. It's got such a good vibe.
And I mean, people don't understand how much the space issue can affect a dog in a shelter environment. But, I mean, our caregivers, you don't even know the dogs are there. We keep going and checking everyone's okay because, you know,
we're used to
having rows of gardens for the dogs. And so, like, if one dog goes for a walk, all the dogs let you know that dog's going for a walk.
Whereas, I've heard that. It's, quite a cacophony of barking.
Yeah. And, of course, every time that happens, the dogs all get riled up again.
Yes.
And you've just spent, you know, an hour taking them for a walk, doing some training, helping them to be calm. And then one dog goes for a walk and then they're all back up again.
Yes.
So it's something new for us to get used to that total peacefulness and relaxing of the dogs. And because of the space, they play a lot more with their toys, which is incredible. We've been watching them throw them in the air and then they run and fetch them. And one of the big pluses is because they're more spaced apart from each other now, we are allowed to put more dogs together, where in the old environment, they weren't able to live together. It was just too much stress. And when one dog would go for a walk, it would upset the others. And it just wasn't worth it. Whereas here, where they've got the peace and quiet, we're now able to put dogs that can live with other dogs, just not in the present shelter environment. But in the new environment, that we're starting to partner up a lot more dogs, which is great because, you know, when somebody comes to look to adopt a dog, they want a dog that they know has lived happily with a strange dog.
Yes, to see how they get along. And I think what's really great is we're going to talk now about Yankee Candles, but to see companies like Yankee Candles, like Montego, I know that Saints raises funds for a lot of shelters, but it's so great to see these corporates get involved.
They're few and far between.
They are, sadly. You know, more so of late. I mean, yesterday I saw a whole lot of, was it Hills, who donated huge amounts of food to Pug Rescue, followed by Montego again, donating huge amounts of food, Supreme Pet. So I really believe that if you have a corporate that is supplying the pet care trade, it is your duty to give back. It really, really is. You need to. And if you don't, you really need to have a bit of a think about that.
But we were very lucky. Montego came on board with us when we were just a website, even before we had the actual animal shelter part of Barkimad, which is Dogtown.
Yes.
And they have been really supportive. And we were surprised and overwhelmed that they said, okay, they'll build our first octagon.
That's fantastic.
Which was just incredible. And it just set the ball rolling. And, you know, we kept thinking, okay, we're not going to get that kind of donation again.
Mm.
You know, so we're going to have to save lots of little money to build up the next octagon. And then Yankee Candle came along and we were like, okay, that is just the best thing
there
ever.
We go. Well, let's talk about that. Amanda, thanks so much for coming in today. I know we've even done articles on Yankee Candle in Canine Zone because you do so much. Now, how did this come about? How did you get involved with Barking Mad and helping dogs and cats in shelters?
Well, thanks for having me firstly. We've always tried helping animal shelters where we could and, you know, as and when. But to the point that, you know, we just decided this year that we really needed to get involved seriously.
Yes.
With a correct organization that is going to really make a difference. And how I actually got about Dogtown, I normally get their newsletters. And then the one day I decided just to go onto the website to see actually how easy is it to donate or to adopt or just to find your way around the website.
Yes.
And actually it was amazingly easy because sometimes these websites can be a bit complicated. And then I got hold of Pat and my husband and myself went out to Dogtown about 3-4 weeks ago just to go and see, you know, what they are about, what their long-term strategy was and how they actually operate. And we were very impressed because the dedication and going the extra mile just
absolutely
shone through. We then decided to actually go with them. We donated, as Tracy said, enough money to hopefully complete the third octagon. And it's going to be a lifelong commitment for us because we do want to leave a legacy.
That's wonderful.
And on a monthly basis, we are donating, I think, just under a ton of food to the charity as well.
That's incredible. You know, and it's so wonderful because not only, you know, are you helping physically on the ground, but I know me and I know a lot of people who are animal people, let's just call us that. I've always supported, I love your product. I was saying to you earlier, I have little Yankee candles all over my house because they make your whole house smell so divine. But even more so, you'll find people looking at companies like yourself and going, okay, they help animals, I will support them. They really, and I'm sure with that other, the promotion you did earlier on in the year as well,
That's just a plus for us because, you know, we're doing it for right reason.
Yes.
It's not really publicity. We do try and do regular competitions and giveaways on our Facebook page as well, which is just, you know, it does help. And it's also, you know, the brand is quite new in South Africa. It's only been around for 8 years. We've got the 3 standalone Yankee Candle boutique stores, but there's a lot of people out there that's not familiar with the brand. So it is a nice way of getting the name out as well.
It does help. And I think, I know you're not doing it for that, but I think people like myself and all the other animal people in the country, they look for shops or companies that do give back.
Absolutely.
And they will support them. And sadly, there aren't enough. There really aren't enough. So well done. You know,
Thank
we
you.
Salute you for that.
Thank you very much.
And
we're honored to be part of the organization and the charity.
Yes. And I was hearing you earlier on out the studio, you also have 2 little babies at home, little fur kids.
Yes.
So I think this also stemmed from your love of animals,
for sure.
Isn't it?
We've always been charity people. You know, over the past few years, we've supported Puppy and Kitty Haven, animals in distress quite often.
Yes.
And that's actually how I got involved with Dogtown as well, because I connected Pat. So it's wonderful that we can be part of this and make a real difference.
And we keep mentioning Pat. What an amazing lady.
Mm-hmm.
Pat is just, I actually met her face to face for the first time when I came to the opening. She's just awesome, a real treasure.
She is. It's actually incredible to have someone that just focuses you know, on doing the fundraising, building relationships with people for us, because anyone that knows me knows that once I'm on the floor with the dogs, yes, my phone can ring 20 times. I hear nothing.
You don't care.
I see the dogs. You know, I'm not the best person to get hold of,
yes,
at any time. Email, telephone. Well, anyone can tell you that. But, you know, but it's because I started this because my passion is working with the dogs. So, you know, any chance I get where I can be, you know, out there training, yes, and working with the dogs, that's,
oh, yes,
where
you're going to grab it.
It took us a long time to be able to get someone like Pat, which is, yes, it's like that for all charities, unfortunately. It takes a long time to be able to have a person
build
dedicated.
That team. Yes, yes.
But, you know, looking at it now, it would be it would actually work better for charities to get that person in first.
Yes.
And then,
yes,
build
and go from
there.
Because it is. It's hard to find people that have that passion, commitment, and that are, you know, that you can trust to actually get out there and build, you know, follow your dream, basically.
And she lives Dogtown. I mean, you can email her anytime.
I know that. I know that. She's quick. Yeah. You send
sometimes
a message to Pat and
at
it's back.
8 o'clock at night, you think, oh, I need to answer quickly. And then, yes, within 2 minutes, you get a reply.
She's there. Oh, absolutely.
She's one of a kind.
Well, I just want to interject now. If you are listening and you want to get hold of us, if you'd like to ask any of the ladies a question or make a comment, our phone number again is 0861 555 189. You can also get hold of us via Twitter at cliffcentral.com or via WeChat. Our ID, of course, is Cliff Central. Now, I want to just move to Viv. Viv, now, Saints Animal Charity Shop. I mean, you've been going for a long time. Tell us about, you know, what is it that you do? How did this all begin?
We started in 2008 by raising funds for Fora specifically because they put out a request for food. They had 2 weeks' worth left of food, and that was it. So my son saw this appeal and gave me books and said, let's start book sales. And that's how we started. And then I got some help. And in 2009, we formed Saints unofficially. And we carried on and we formalized it in 2012. Where we became an actual MPC because we had visions of opening the charity shop.
Yes, yes.
And we opened 2012, and so we just had our third birthday. And in September 2014, we opened the online boutique. The online sales,
yes,
of Saints. And so we've now just had our first birthday.
Now, just a little bit of a background. I was at your store a few weeks ago as well. You obviously have physical stores where people can come in. And again, this is a wonderful way to give back. Come in and do your Christmas shopping, birthday shopping, whatever. But then these online stores where you run these auctions, which are incredible. I mean, the product that you have available. I know that I won a Japanese kimono, never been worn, from Japan, and I actually got it for 180 rand, which was amazing. So how well have you been doing with these auctions and that, Viv?
Incredibly well.
Really?
But it's purely because we have the most amazing support base.
With people who donate these items to you?
Yeah, the animal lovers are unbelievable. If I had to go on to Facebook in 5 minutes and say, I've got nothing in the shop, I promise you tomorrow it will be full.
Really? Yeah. Gosh, and you've also got, is it Saints Selectives? You've got
Saints
three different.
That's right.
Online.
We've actually got 5 Facebook pages. The Saints Animal Charity Shop, which is running auctions right now. So if the listeners want to just go and have a look at it, there's lots of pet beds, there's interesting items, cameras for sale on auction. And then we've got Saints Online Boutique, which is clothing.
Yes.
And we post probably about 40 to 60 items a day for sale or auction. Then we have Saints Selectives, which is the designer side of it.
Right.
All designer handbags, clothing.
I've seen. You've had
jewelry.
Gucci, you've had everything.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Stuff. Amazing.
I mean, it's incredible.
You can pick up a True Religion jeans for 150 rand if you get lucky.
Yes.
Then there's Saints Odds and Sods, which is exactly that. It's lots of little ornaments and trinkets and fun things. And then we've got Saints By the Book, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The By the Book page, we load books about 60 a day, and we have a following all over the country because we post.
I was just going to ask you, so if you're sitting in Cape Town,
you
can still bid,
yeah,
and you'll get it mailed through.
And people can have an account with us. When they default, they're back onto a 48-hour cash you know, payment.
Yes, yes.
But otherwise, they can see, you'll see they on the pages they say things like stash or mine. Mm. That goes onto our account at the end of the month. We send them an account. They clear it and we post it off, or they come into the shop and collect it.
That's incredible. I mean, the physical shop, I think you've got two.
We've got the physical shop.
Which is in North Riding.
In North Riding Square on Bellairs Drive. That is open Monday to Sunday. Tuesday to Sunday. Where you can go in and buy cash.
Yes.
Or
okay.
card. And then we've got the online store, which is only open on a Saturday for collections.
And how do you run the stores? Do you have is it all volunteers?
No,
that come
in
help?
The beginning I wanted to have volunteers only, but unfortunately that doesn't work, so no. I've had to employ. We've got 6 full-time staff and a couple of part-time staff members. And we have our wonderful volunteers that do help us with book sales, and whenever we're in a pickle, we can phone someone up, send them a message, and they come in and help us.
Yes.
Out.
And now I always see, what is it, towards the end of the year or early in the year when you announce the amounts that you are actually giving to the shelters? I mean, I nearly fall off my office chair every time I see this, Viv.
Yeah.
I mean, so do you literally, how do you choose your shelters? How do you choose who you're going to give the monies to?
We've been very specific with who we have on board, and there's certain criteria that they've all got to meet. There's got to be pre-home checks, post-home checks, sterilization, follow-up. We work with only ethical shelters, if you have a look at our beneficiaries.
Yes.
We've chosen them, and they'll be on board for ever, because I don't see any of them resigning anytime soon.
No, sure. Tracy's saying no.
I wish we get requests all the time, you know, especially after we've had a birthday bonus payout to become a beneficiary.
Sure.
And I wish we could take on more, but we just don't have the capacity. And I think there's an opportunity out there for people to step up and do exactly what we're doing.
Yes.
Yes,
oh,
it's
absolutely.
Hard work, but the when I sit in front of that PC and pay out from the bank at the end of the month, there's nothing that gives me more joy.
No, it must be amazing. It must be
amazing. Yeah. I've actually got a figure here for you now. At the end of this month, we will be paying out, since the shop started.
Yes.
In 2012, we will be paying out 4 million rand in total. So that's what we've raised funds.
That is incredible.
That's not just what, you know, obviously there's operating costs and everything, but that's what we've paid over. 4 million rand by the end of this month.
Because I've seen you have that event and the checks that you hand over, and I go, wow, that is just amazing. I'm sure that you are you not the highest contributor to shelters in the country? I would imagine.
I think we're probably the top independently run animal welfare fundraisers, yeah.
Gee, that is just incredible. And I mean, Tracy Barking Mad Dog Town, you one of the beneficiaries.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's helped a lot.
It, you know, even the big payouts that we get yearly are like Christmas, whatever month we get them in. But I mean, even that just steady stream of every month getting the Saint shop, and you have an idea of how much you get in each month, you know, because your supporters take their stuff to the shop and say they want this, they're donating this stuff for Barking Mad to sell. So you've got an idea of how much money's coming, but it's just, you know, to get that chunk of change every month on a regular basis.
Incredible.
It's just incredible.
So is that how it works, Viv? If you want to donate something, do I go in and I say, I'm donating this bag, but I want the sale proceeds to go to Barking Mad?
Absolutely.
Or do you decide at the end of each month and divide it equally?
No,
how does it work?
We partner with our organization, so they are supposed to be telling their supporters, just drop off your, you know, good quality secondhand items, and say it's for Barking Mad, or say it's for Pawsome, say it's for Claw, and then we code every single item, and we've got the codes on the tool. So as it gets sold, so it gets recorded. And at the end of the month, what we do is we actually divide that by 50%, because obviously we've got rent to pay, we've got operating costs.
Sure.
So we pay over 50%. However, at Christmas time and in July on our birthday, we then take whatever's in the kitty and we pay them out proportionally, you know, for what they've brought in. But what happens is probably about 80% of our donations now are coming in from the public in the area.
Yes.
And they just say, it's for anyone.
There you go. Right.
So, in fact, when we're paying out those bonuses, the organizations have had their 50% during the month, but they end up getting about 150% back when they get their bonus payouts. That's amazing. And obviously Saints does their own funding. We try as much as possible to pay our own salaries, to pay our own rent by doing our T-shirts. And you've mentioned as well the diaries we used to do. We do calendars. We've done so many things. And if you go onto our pages, at the moment we're selling those lovely T-shirts that say, I just want to save animals, drink wine and take naps.
I got a wonderful gift from you. It was thank you so much. I got one pleasure. Of those T-shirts. You know me, Duncan sitting here next to me, he knows me. Every week I normally have a different doggy T-shirt. So thank you very, very much for
pleasure.
That.
And it's for your work that you've done for animal welfare as well.
I never feel like I do enough. But then I also got a wonderful Yankee candle. So I'm going home today with some wonderful gifts. But Viv, I mean, just going into your store and looking, I'm just going back on the product that people donate. I mean, it's incredible. And you were saying your diary. I know you said you weren't doing it. Every year I've got my Saints diary, beautiful diaries. But we were talking earlier on that you once did the Saints naked calendar.
Yes,
and you got all the shelter.
Yeah. Ladies.
Yes,
they are the organizations
to
come in and pose.
So like a calendar girls type
strategically
of thing.
Placed pets.
Yeah. I know. I saw that. And in fact, someone was in the studio a few weeks ago who said, are they doing that again?
No.
No. Were you on the calendar?
She was.
And what was strategically placed?
We had
little Brody we brought across. So he was like a minpin cross.
Oh, no. Oh, well.
And then we had one of our little pit bulls with us.
Yes. Gosh, well, I would probably need two Great Danes.
It took a lot of Simbuka and a lot of courage for the girls to actually take their kit off, and it was cold. Oh. And we had Basil the sheep walking around, and we had a little pig there, Charlotte the pig, and then we had puppies, and it was just,
a whole lot of fun. Who did the photography on that?
A guy called Eric, and he did that for free, and then we got people came to the party and sponsored the paper, making of the calendar. I think that was a 2012 calendar. We raised about 525,000 odd rand from
goodness. From
that calendar.
We should do it again.
Oh, we'll do it again.
Absolutely.
We're looking for men. We want some men in animal welfare. If there's any out there, please step up, really. Where are you guys?
No, for sure. They could be sitting there surrounded by Yankee candles and
absolutely.
We'll sponsor.
Puppy. Yeah, there you go. Come on, men.
We've got some big candles.
Good.
Nice long ones and short fat ones.
The low ones.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll need only the big ones.
So what is this? A shout out to people like Malcolm Gore, for example.
Any men in animal
Ian
welfare.
Ian from Husky Rescue.
Yes, Ian will be there for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's what
I'll
need.
I'll let Gordon know when I get there.
No, absolutely. No, I think, again, as we were saying earlier, it is so great when there is a place where you can go. And now with Christmas coming up as well. You know, go and have a look there. It's not, as I say, it's not bric-a-brac. It's good quality.
It's excellent quality.
New stuff. And amazing. If you look at what you pay for a book in store right now, you're looking at 200-300 rand.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we sell our new releases 2015 for 100 rand. Wow. And they can get brand new releases online.
Goodness. Yeah. See, which is perfect. So go
and furniture
online
as well.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen how much furniture we get on our the Saints Animal Charity Shop page. People who are leaving, moving, downgrading, immigrating, they all say, here we go, there's pictures, we want to sell our bed, we want to sell our dining room suite, our lounge suite, and we auction those and then people go and collect them. So
the auction's a lot of fun.
They're lots
of fun.
You
see everybody doing their bids and
but I think it's also very nice for people to be able to give back. It doesn't, it's not money, they're giving something.
Yes.
And they know that it's going to some fantastic causes.
Now you said, Tracy, that the funds raised there has also helped you with your new Barking Mare Dog Town.
Well, I don't even know how many months ago it was now. We had a bit of a crisis at the present property we're at. And Viv was straight in there to say, we'll help you, get some more funds in to help you move quicker. And it was an overnight auction?
We did a night sale. We got all of our staff and some of our friends and volunteers in, and we sold things overnight. Yeah,
it was really? Throughout the night.
Yes,
and it was a lot.
It was like 50,000 we raised that evening. Yeah.
In one evening. Yeah.
That's incredible.
But that's animal people for you.
Yes. Oh, no.
You tell them you need help and they are there.
Yeah. I always say animal angels out there, they are always there to help, whether it's networking, whether it's sharing lost, found dogs up for adoption, whether it's donating, they're always there. Mm. It's just incredible. I actually went to an event. I go to so many events, but a couple of weeks ago for Beagle Rescue. And they did an auction, and there was a lady there who was just bidding, and the price went up and up and up. And I thought, how fantastic that she's sitting there, and instead of perhaps throwing her money away on something else, she's actually putting it towards a good cause. Mm. But now, Tracy, before we take a quick break, I just wanted to find out, so you now got a foot in two shelters right now. You're Barking Mad Dog Town. Are you going to close the one that's currently, or are you in Midrand?
Yes.
Are you going to close that completely in time?
That actually is just on rented property, so it's not ours. Okay. So basically, as the last dog gets to the new center, that one will become null and void. And as we're moving dogs, we're taking down the fencing and taking it across to the center to help, because we're going to use that fencing to build play areas.
Yes. So how many dogs are now in Midrand?
In Midrand at the moment, there's 31 in total. And the next batch, which should be about another 20, will move on Tuesday. And then we just need to wait for the next octagons to be finished being built.
So how many can you accommodate at the new property at the moment?
At the new property, we only have the two complete octagons, and then we have those 10 standalone boarding kennels.
Okay.
So at the center at the moment, we can probably... It depends on whether dogs live together or if it's a one dog per garden. But we work on 20 dogs per octagon. So we've got two octagons at the moment, so that we're looking at 40 dogs.
Sure, that's a lot. Well, we're going to take a quick break. I just wanted to, again, just thank you, Amanda. I think, you know, you and Yankee Candles has really stepped up to the plate. Bless you, bless you, bless you. We give you our animal salute there.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back after we listen to some Pitbull.
Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.
And I love Pitbull, not only because I own one, but he also makes great music. So we're back with Tracy McQuarrie from Dogtown Barking Mad and Viv Elliott from Saints. And we've got Dorette in from Pawsome Wacky Whiskers. Thanks for coming in, Dorette. Tracy, I just wanted to go back quickly to your Barking Mad in the break. Now, we were saying that those octagons cost about 108,000.
180,000.
180,000. Yeah. Gosh.
But each octagon takes up about an acre of land. So that can show you the size.
Yes, yes.
And at the moment, because we're trying to get the dogs there as quick as possible, what we've done in the octagons is actually divided the octagon gardens in half. So instead of it being 8 gardens, it's actually 15 with an entrance-exit garden.
Okay.
That'll allow us to get the dogs there. And then as soon as the dogs are all there, then we'll start building the other octagons and taking those middle gardens out.
Yes.
I mean, you saw how big the gardens are
They're huge.
And that's them divided.
They're huge.
I can't wait.
No, and also we were talking when I was there, I actually met two of your little babies, Honey the Pit Bull and little Bocky. And we were talking about Honey's background. You said he lived in a car.
Yeah, unfortunately, Honey's dad fell on hard times. Mm. But instead of giving up his dog, he gave up everything else and had his car. And he kept Honey in his car for as long as he could.
Goodness.
Eventually, he lost the car as well, sadly. And that's when Honey came across to us. But Honey has... connected the car to be in a great place, so he's only too happy to jump in a car and go for a car ride.
And you were saying now, even on to get him to walk, and now at the property, you're going to try and put him on a golf cart or something.
Well, he goes on the golf cart.
Oh, does he?
On our farm, Pekani often takes Hanny down the driveway to sit in, and he sits in the passenger side. It is the cutest thing to watch.
And he's a huge, he's a big boy. He's
and he
gorgeous.
Actually sits there, and like as you see him going past, he kind of like nods at you as if to go, sup.
How's it?
Shame. But when he first came in, obviously because he'd been living in a car with his dad, he wasn't really going out for like social walks or anything like that. So when we first got him, he was getting quite hyped up when we were trying to take him for a walk. So part of his training was, because we knew he liked the car, we would first like take the car to his garden. He'd jump in the car. We'd take him out past all the dogs into an open field and then let him start walking. And now he doesn't even need the car anymore. We just had to find what worked for him to get him to the next point.
Shame, and I have to ask his dad, does he ever
His dad
come
sadly
and see
passed
him?
Away.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a really sad story.
That is a sad story.
But one where, I mean, I have a lot of admiration for him because, you know, most people, when they hit on hard times, the dogs are the
first to go. You know, I'm so glad you say that because nothing makes my blood boil more than people who abandon their dogs when they move. Who, as you say, I mean, there was something on Facebook this morning, this gorgeous little, you know, as we call them, one of God's little brown dogs, you know, just a little nondescript guy who was too old, 3 years old. He was too old. They wanted a new puppy, so they abandoned him. So, you know, I bless his dad. At least he tried his very best. There's no reason to abandon your dogs when you move. None whatsoever. There is help available. Look, people do hit hard times. You know, it happens. But get help. Don't just leave. Don't just make it somebody else's problem. It makes my blood boil. It really does. And in fact, we've got in the December issue, we are doing a feature, a hard-hitting feature that Jenny Davis is writing for me on exactly that, on how many dogs are abandoned in empty houses. And then February, we're talking about immigration because that's another issue. And we've got a case history of a lady who has immigrated now to New Zealand. And she took her two bull terriers with, and she said she cut costs in other places to make sure that her two dogs could come with her. And they arrived a short while ago, and the joy and the happiness to see that family reunited.
It's just the mindset of people. People need to know that they're a lifetime commitment. Mm. Not, you know, I mean, most of the dogs that are abandoned at shelters are adolescents, so they're like 1-2 years old once they've got past the puppy stage, or they're the senior dogs that, you know, now they're going to cost a bit of money to take care of. I mean, where they've gave you loyalty their entire
life. Yeah, no, it's just sad. Now, Dorette. Now, Dorette, this is where you come in. You run Paw Some Wacky Whiskers. Now, this is what you deal with every day, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. At present, we try to concentrate more on our outreach work, which means we try to assist as much as possible to sterilize and give health care to the people who cannot afford it.
Right.
We do not want to take animals away from people. We believe even if you've got nothing.
Yes.
They still love their animals. It's still a companion for so many people. Like this guy Tracy just talked about with his dog. That was his life.
Yes.
He passed away now, and he was fortunate to end up at Dogtown in the end. So our goal is to sterilize, help with vet care, and educate as much as we can. But yes, we get about emails. I get about 20 a day of people immigrating, divorce.
Yes, yes.
Nobody wanting the pet. Or just don't want the animal anymore for whatsoever reason. They're not following through. They don't understand. You get a puppy or you get a kitten. And like Tracy also said, it's a lifetime commitment.
Totally.
You can't just decide when the animal is 1 year old, I want a new puppy or I want a new kitten. And then the other one needs to go. It happens quite a lot, unfortunately.
Time.
Or they get the wrong kind of animal for the household. They get a Great Dane, but they live in a tiny, tiny townhouse.
Yes.
And it's a busy household. They don't walk the dog, or they get a Labrador. And then the dog must go.
Problems.
The dog is irritated, it's frustrated.
There's behavior problems.
Yes, in the end, but it's the family, the humans who created the behavioral problems.
And I think that's what's always come up over the year and a bit I've done this show. Everybody I've had in has said, A, before you adopt, make sure you can afford it, because vet bills are not cheap. It's not cheap. Make sure you can afford the food, the vet bills, and choose the right dog for your lifestyle.
Yes,
as you say, don't get a Great Dane or a Border Collie if you're living in a small apartment, because they have needs. Different breeds have different needs, and if you don't fulfill those needs, there's going to be behavior problems, and then they will end up again in the shelters.
Except for our outreach, we also do mostly cat rescue and rehabilitation.
Really?
And
yes.
We always call them the ugly stepsisters of rescue.
What, the kitties?
The cats.
Oh.
Because nobody wants them.
I know. I mean, that's another whole problem.
I still have about 70 cats with me at present. They're all 70. Adults. From the 70, about 50 is ready for adoption. The others are feral, semi-feral,
yes.
which stay permanently. So we also have rescues in a home that's with us. Unfortunately, we can't take in more.
No,
you have to be
no.
realistic. We're taking the worst of the worst of the worst at present.
Yes.
And that's why we're also very thankful to be a beneficiary, except for our outreach work, which we do. When we get that bonus, I just see scary.
There you go.
So is that where it goes? Is that
where it goes
to spaying and neutering?
Paying and neutering. Our running costs just for the cats with us, because that's a basic. It's food and litter trays. And I've got one guy helping me at our cattery to clean the litter boxes. The rest,
you know,
you do yourself. But it's about 9,000 rand a month. Just your basic running costs for the cats that's with us. That's not including if they get sick. They also get sick.
Extra vet costs.
Extra vet costs. We also test all our cats for feline AIDS, feline leukemia, before they even get up for adoption. We sterilize them. We vaccinate them. And with Saints monthly funds we get from them, from our supporters at Saints, we can manage to do the basic at the animals that's with us. So like I say, when we get that bonus, I've got a long list of animals that need to get. I really do. I'm actually fully booked. It's like a one-man team, but I've got wonderful people who support me as well. We're doing at Redeplaat Dam in Pretoria at present, there's 100 cats, feral cats, people picked up and moved. It was like caravans where people lived in, and they vacated the place and they left the cats unsterilized. So in the end, you said, we started with 4 cats, you sit with 100 cats.
Good heavens.
So slowly, though, but surely, we're trapping them. Lazelle is doing that for me.
So then what do? You go and trap?
They go and
bring
trap
them in, you to the and
vet,
then bring them
and
back.
And take them back.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. We take the ferals back where they belong. It's no use removing a whole feral colony of cats, because new ones is just going to move in. So we believe rather to maintain the colony that you have. There is people feeding. We send them food as well to feed them, so they get food every day. Once we sterilize them, we also clip the ears so that we know which ones has been sterilized.
Yes.
We're running there. We started KwaMashlanga Molotu as well. Slowly, I've got a wonderful lady with the name of Alda who's driving animals once a week from that area as well to get sterilized and then back home. We will vaccinate them for rabies, deworm, give tick and flea treatment. And then we also started, and we've got our Derdepoort project. That's where it started. A small holding where people that's really got nothing, that also lives in tents and caravans. That's where we started. Most of the animals there have been sterilized. And then we also started in Brits Sonop area. Once a month, we travel there. We bring about 20 animals back to Pretoria, get it sterilized here with our vet, check their healthcare. And send them back.
Yes. Because, Dorit, these feral cat colonies, they can really help the community.
They do.
Because they hunt the rats.
Yes.
You know, they,
mice,
they really
rats,
can
snakes,
be quite
even.
Useful.
Yes. And they don't bother you. You know, once there's a caregiver giving food to them, and they have to be sterilized. There's no. If you just feed them, you're actually helping them to reproduce more. I always say,
okay,
there shouldn't be a saying like, you know, like rabbits.
Yeah.
It's cats. They
sure,
get litter.
The
babies are 3 weeks old and the mummy is already pregnant again.
So
if you want a feral colony, or not want, if you feed a colony or you know about a feral cat and you feed call for help. Try to get it catched in a trap, sterilized, and put back. It's very important to do that.
Absolutely. Yes. I know there's a feral colony out at Clearwater Mall as well.
Yes.
And that's so great because I know that area, we're plagued by rats and mice. And I think they really do help. And I think a lot of companies, am I right, Dorit, that actually now some of the keep their colonies.
Yes. I know Roslyn, it's an industrial area of Pretoria as well. My dad used to work there. They had a feral colony there as well. And there was two incredible ladies that worked with him, and the company actually sponsored to get them sterilized. But sometimes they just wash their hands and say, well, it's not our problem. You either sterilize them or you remove them. If you remove a feral, unfortunately, like I said, we're sitting with... Where does it go? And it's cruel to confine them.
Because they're not easy to rehabilitate.
No, it's very difficult. That's why some of our cats are feral or semi-feral. We just never managed to get them to a point. But they do accept one people, maybe, to a point where you can look at them.
You can actually get them to the point where they can go into
And some you get time. So it's always like a trick or treat.
Yes, because I had a
is
little...
Is it or isn't it
going to work?
Yes.
No, because also Hill Fox, also I'm from the West Rand, so I had, about 3 years ago, there was a little, some abandoned kittens, newborn little kittens, which I ended up with one bottle feeding.
Every 3 hours.
Yes, oh shame. And today I actually found a wonderful home for her. But now what about the kittens? I mean, they obviously must be easier to get adopted.
Yes, kittens always. Adult cats, unfortunately not. We get like two adults. I think we actually had a record this month. Viv's aunt actually adopted two teenagers from us. So this year it was a record. I think we managed to rehome 5 adult cats.
In the whole year.
Oh,
My word.
They all want the kittens.
They all want the kittens.
Sure. And kittens, do you get a lot of adoptions?
Yes. For the kittens, yes. Okay. We do get a lot of inquiries for them.
Yes.
We lowered our adoption fee because it's difficult to complete with cats. People have the mindset you get one for free from a pet shop or for 50 rand, but they do not know how much it costs to vaccinate that cat, to test that cat, to sterilize that cat. If you count that up, your normal fees would usually be 1,700 to 2,000 to get that done.
For sure.
We now charge a fee of 100 rand for adoption of our cats and kittens.
That's low. And that's including spaying, neutering,
testing, vaccinations, and microchipping. We do our chipping through Chip Your Angels at present.
And that's another mindset, am I right, ladies, that has to change, is that we do not need to support pet stores that are selling puppies and kittens in cages from backyard breeders.
Yeah.
We do not, when our shelters are full with beautiful little kittens, beautiful little puppies, you know, pure breeds as well that are sitting in shelters. I would love to see not a single pet store allowed to sell a puppy or a kitten ever again.
When I take my sand shirt off, I put my banner on.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had Smaragda in a couple
of
times.
Every single protesting against pet shops.
Yeah.
We're also a big supporter of ban animals.
It's not acceptable. It's not. Because you might walk past and go, oh, cute little kitten, you know, paid $2.50 or impulse buy. Or people have said to me, we feel like we're saving them.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they say, you see this and they think they're saving that little thing from that cage. But it is difficult and it's very emotional, but you're just creating space for more.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
You know?
And actually, we have taken in kittens that people got from pet shops, impulse.
Yeah.
And the kitten is sick. They don't know. And they don't have the funds to take it to the vet.
Yes.
And it all comes down on the charity in the end to take the kitten in, get it tested, get it cured, and hopefully find a home for them in the end. Yeah.
Sure. No, I tell you what, I do take my hat off to you because, as you say, the cats and kittens are very much, you know, there's a lot about the doggies and the personal stories and everything, but the cats are really the little poor stepsisters.
Yes, luckily, in the science understand there is cats as
there
well.
There are kitty mews needing help.
Yes, even though I have a dog on my shirt, we love cats too.
Okay,
absolutely. In fact, most of the people that work at Saints are actually cat people. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We've got to keep the balance.
So we fit in.
Okay. Yes. And so you also, you go into these areas, you go and help people that can't afford
to sterilize.
Because there's so many people who absolutely adore their animals, but they just cannot afford it.
Yes.
Sharon, can I just mention what you you said earlier that you found these kittens. Mm. If the public do come across kittens that look like they're in a feral situation,
yes,
please don't take them away from the mother, because the mother will get mastitis and die the most horrific death.
Oh, right. Yes.
And then what do they do with the kittens? Then they take them home, they try and bottle feed them, and you land up feeding milk.
Yes, right.
You know, or the wrong things. Yeah. Yes. And get all sorts of buddha rocks, what to feed them, what to do. There's a lot of people who are looking after ferals. There's a huge amount of wonderful, wonderful ladies working behind the scenes, feeding, looking after them, sterilizing them. If you see something like that, take a picture, get the address, get onto Facebook, find out who's your feral person in that area, and then hand it over
and
to
get
them.
Help that
because
way.
Those ladies know
no,
what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Or if you see kittens somewhere in the felt area, wait, go back and back, because the mummy also needs to eat. So she leaves her litter, go and eat and drink milk or water, whatever, and come back.
Because this
so sometimes
one
they
was
not
found
abandoned
in the middle of a road.
Yeah,
no,
they
will be pouring rain, and it was very, very sick.
But sometimes people take the whole litter. They think it's abandoned because mummy went eating or something, and then they take them away, and like Viv says,
The amount of times I'm at my vet, because I'm with her often, she's also one of our beneficiaries, that people come in with a box of kittens saying, we just found these kittens. Now they hand them over to Dr. Sheila, and her and her staff have now got to sit there and bottle feed kittens.
Yes.
She runs Co-Sanc, a cat sanctuary herself. She has enough to do.
Yes. So, in fact, we're going to get Dr. Sheila Hahn into studio.
Oh, she's awesome.
And maybe we must bring you back for that that chat, Dorette, because I want to focus on cats. We do a lot about dogs and wildlife and all sorts, but cats we need to look at a little bit more. But we're sadly running out of time already. I just want to quickly go around, and Amanda, you'll probably have to come and jump at my mic here, but where can people get hold of you, Viv? Give us a Facebook page, website, anything like that.
The five Facebook pages, but if you go to Saints Animal Charity Shop on Facebook, we also have a website, which is www.saintsshop.co.za.
There you go. Now you know where to get all your Christmas presents.
Thank you.
Dorette, how can people get all of you?
On Facebook as well. We've got a Facebook page, Pawsome Wacky Whiskers, Rescue and Rehoming, or they can send me a text or a WhatsApp message. I don't usually answer my phone either.
Okay.
At
too busy with a kitty cat.
Yes. It's 084-581-2383.
Oh,
and we're
based
in Pretoria, not Johannesburg.
Oh, Pretoria.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm sure you're always needing volunteers and donations
always
and assistance.
Donations to Saints. Like I say, 90% of our funding comes from
there you
Saints.
Go. So they can go directly to you or via Saints.
Yes, please.
Tracy, how can people help you?
We've got our website, barkingmad.co.za, which, of course, they can also click to feed and help us.
Yes, that's brilliant.
Feed the 30 charities that we help feed. And also we've got a Facebook page, Dogtown SA and Barking Mad. And then we've got Twitter, Barking Mad for Dogs, the number 4.
Okay, fantastic. So if you want to adopt, if you want to volunteer, if you want to donate. And Amanda, Yankee Candles, where can people find you? Do you have a Facebook page? Again, awesome gifts to plan for the Christmas season coming up. And you know that this company is helping our animals.
Thank you. Yes, we've got a website page, yankeecandlesa.co.za. And then we also have our Facebook page, which is quite new, and we need all the support we can to try and build and get the word out there. And just also to mention, if you are purchasing on Facebook, all orders over 2,000 Rand gets free delivery.
Oh, wonderful.
Otherwise,
okay,
you can reach me on my landline, 011-450-1614.
Fantastic. Amanda, thank you and bless you again for all you're doing. I know I just promised Duncan, you're next to me, a Yankee candle to take out. He's not going to let me forget that. You wanted to add something quickly, Dorette?
Just want to say thank you to Barking Mad. They've got an incredible website where they, not only their animals that's up for adoption, but always post all our animals.
Yes.
The Wacky Whiskers team is on there as well, even the kitties. And so we just want to say thank you. So if you go to their website, it's quite a lot of animals that you,
it's
from different shelters,
website.
You can adopt.
Amazing website. Ladies, thank you so much. We really have a powerful force in studio today, all for the animals, doing it for
thank
the animals.
Sharon.
We will be back again next week. I'll be back again next week. Week after that, Ainsley will be sharing the hosting with me. Remember to get out there and get your Canine Zone magazine. Make sure your dogs, your cats are safe over this period. There's a lot of dog and, well, not cat theft, but dog theft carrying on at the moment. Until next week, Wednesday, give all your pets a big love from me. Bye for now.
Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.